From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from the NPR studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, the lush life. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. It's Wednesday, April 16th, and I feel like I'm living the lush life. You don't want to know why?
Please tell.
Because this man is coming out with a new album.
Look in a mirror, I see your reflection. Open a book, you live on every page.
So if you didn't recognize it, that was Neil Diamond, and that's a song from his new album. The song is called Pretty Amazing Grace, and the album is called Home Before Dark. It's out on May 6th, and he gave an interview. The reason we're talking about this is because he gave a preview interview to the AP this week, and it got me all jazzed, Allie.
We have a little Neil Diamond click
on
the Bryant Park Project.
I knew about Neil Diamond before I knew the Beatles or Bob Dylan or any iconic musical figure ever existed. I mean, I used to watch The Jazz Singer over and over again. I had to kind of grow up, become a teenager before people told me you can't be a cantor when you grow up, Rachel. You're not Jewish and you're not a man. I was so obsessed with Neil Diamond and that movie and all of his music, so I'm super psyched.
I know somebody I'm going to karaoke with.
Yeah.
Coming up on today's show, he's penned the gritty novel Clockers. You know, he has written The Color of Money. He wrote for The Wire most recently. Author Richard Price is back with a new novel. It's getting rave reviews. I have to say, it's pretty great. And it is called The Lush Life. Murder, hipsters, a slice of life on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. That interview's coming up.
Also, watch out. It's an earthquake swarm off the Pacific Northwest. You want to know what an earthquake swarm is? It's like all these little earthquakes that happen. 600 of them have been recorded in recent weeks. So what's up? We have a marine geologist who's going to give us some of his hypotheses as to what's going on off the coast of Oregon.
Pennsylvania, your time in the spotlight. The next big primary contest. And our guest will tell us about what he says are the four types of voters who might determine the next president of the United States.
And I also have to break in with a correction from our executive producer who just reminds me that there are female cantors. I misspoke, as Hillary Rodham Clinton has done. We'll get to today's headlines in just a minute, but first.
Yeah, that's the sound of Catholic school children greeting Pope Benedict XVI as he stepped off his plane yesterday at Andrews Air Force Base on his first visit to the United States as Pope.
Today, the Pope kicks off 5 full days of events with a welcoming ceremony at the White House, where he'll speak on the South Lawn and meet privately with President Bush. He's only the second Pope in history to visit the White House, and we're wagering the visit may also involve some well wishes, because today is the Pontiff's 81st birthday. He was born Joseph Ratzinger on April 16, 1927 in Bavaria to parents named Joseph and Mary. True story.
Before the celebrations, meetings, and discussions, Pope Benedict took care of some difficult business before stepping off the plane. He addressed the clergy sexual abuse scandals of recent years. On the flight over, he told reporters that to him, it's almost beyond comprehension.
It's difficult for me to understand how it was possible that priests betrayed in this way their mission to give healing, to give love of the God to these children.
And in the end, the Pope said the entire incident is shameful.
We are deeply ashamed, and we will do all the possible that this cannot happen in future.
But those remarks were not enough to satisfy some American Catholics. Barbara Blaine, president of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says she's concerned some children are still at risk, and she says she has a message for the Pontiff.
If we did have the chance to speak to the Holy Father, what we would want to tell him is that we are looking for action, not words.
Now the Pope will be here through Sunday night with masses scheduled for 2 baseball stadiums and visits with other religious leaders, including a rabbi who survived the Holocaust. And we want to arm you with some talking points in case conversation at your office or your local pub turns to the papal visit.
All right. He is to be referred to as Pope Benedict XVI. Benedict, the Pope, or the Pontiff. His office is to be referred to as the Papacy or the Pontificate, which means if you express opinions or judgments about the Pope's office in a dogmatic way, you're pontificating about the pontificate.
In 2007, Pope Benedict joined Jay-Z, David Beckham, and Barack Obama on Esquire's list of best-dressed men in the world. The magazine also named him Accessorizer of the Year, which should really come as no surprise, since he brought back what's called the mantum. That's that long cape that's been eschewed by recent popes.
Of course, there's always the shorter cape that reaches just to the elbows. Yeah, that is called a mozzetta. The Pope has three versions: red satin for summer, red velvet for winter, and white for Easter time.
And Pope Benedict XVI appears to be a modern pope. He owns an iPod. The Vatican Radio gave the pontiff a Nano in 2006 for the station's 75th birthday.
We could go on with this trivia forever, but instead, we'll post a lot of it on our blog. Go to npr.org/Bryant Park. Now let's get some more of today's headlines.